When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Tell me why haven't I heard from you?
Why haven't I heard from you?
Tell me
why haven't I
heard from you?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, April the 26th, we're going to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Before we get to email, let's begin with some criticism of our COVID vaccine coverage.
Hi, Todd and Jeff. I want to commend you for your many great interviews with faithful Lutheran pastors on the fundamentals and applications of our faith. This body of work is of tremendous present and perpetual value to the church. What is not commendable is your treatment of the COVID vaccines. Over the year 2021, you had at least four separate individuals on in turn who promoted these injections to your audience without qualification. Dr. Wolgemuth, Dr. Barrows, Dr. Sander, and Mr. Stone spoke in glowing and reassuring terms about these injections, each one taking time to dispute any concerns or hesitations with their safety and efficacy. At least one of your listeners expressed to you in a subsequent Issues comment line segment that they received these injections, in spite of having previously had reservations, based on your reassuring coverage. Already at the time of these interviews, as real-world data has come in, and as Pfizer's own data has begun to be released by court order, we have abysmal safety numbers, informed by the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System and elsewhere. This is joined by the clearly observable fact that the vaccinated still contract and transmit the disease. In spite of these significant challenges to the information you and your guests have put forth, you still have not presented a second opinion. This is a Fifth Commandment issue, with the health and safety of the bodies of your listeners on the line. That you have chosen silence rather than to air the urgent questions pertaining to the safety and efficacy of this product that you shield is, quite frankly, appalling. At what point do you acknowledge your moral responsibility to provide full disclosure to your audience by interviewing a guest who can knowledgeably dispute their false claims? Yours in Christ.
Okay, thank you very much. Jeff, first I want you to deal with the guest issue. You know, how we went about procuring, and I think he's right, at least four guests that either directly talked about the vaccine or in the course of the conversation about the pandemic talked about the vaccine. How do we did not go looking for pro-vaccine guests. We just went to, we had several standards. We wanted them to be confessionally Lutheran. We wanted them to be experts in their field. In the case of, I think, an epidemiologist, a virologist maybe, Lyman Stone is not a doctor. He is a demographer, but his expertise there is in the numbers regarding these things. So we didn't go looking for pro-vaccine guests. We just went for the best guests we could get with their expertise on these things.
Yes, and they weren't all confessional Lutherans. We worked on relationships that we have. Been doing this show for 25 years now. So in the case of demographics, Lyman Stone, who is a confessional Lutheran, we interviewed him. He hasn't let us down in the past. He's got a great reputation with us as a guest in this program.
I remember he was the guy.
Extremely reliable.
I remember he was the guy at the beginning of the pandemic, standing in my closet doing the show for the few months that we did the show remotely and interviewing him. And he was the only guest that said, this pandemic is going to kill a lot of people, and it's going to last years. No one wanted to hear that at the time, by the way. And he said, just looking at previous pandemics, I'm telling you what the numbers tell me. So he was trying to be as objective as he could possibly be there. part of his job is being a demographer.
And then for almost 20 years, we've interviewed experts at the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. And we interviewed Dr. Jeff Barrows about it. Then in the cases of the two epidemiologists, they were both confessional Lutheran lay people. Dr. Nicholas Wolgemuth of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and Dr. David Sander, who's an epidemiologist and mayor of a small town. And the good thing about him is he kind of gave us both perspective.
Sure.
Both the side from a government policy perspective and from a scientific perspective. So that's why we scheduled the guests that we did. In the case of one of the recommendations is Peter McCullough, who's a cardiologist, heart specialist. We have attempted several times to get him on the program. And as I've told people have emailed me, if you can get him, now I'll be honest, I'm over COVID. So I've dropped the ball on trying to schedule somebody on COVID. I haven't tried to reach out to Dr. Peter McCullough in the last couple of months.
But you have repeatedly tried to procure him as a guest.
Yes.
And who else?
And we tried the Dr. Scott Atlas of Stanford University was part of the Trump administration's COVID response team. Our only hope of getting him on was he had a book out, and he did a few interviews.
And then stopped.
He got a lot of heat from a lot of people at Stanford and other places. So I felt optimistic about that we were going to get him on. We struck out there. I have not tried to schedule Robert Malone, who claims to have been the founder of the...
Who himself is vaccinated.
Yes. The RMNA. Is that what it is, Craig?
mRNA.
mRNA. We have not reached out to him.
So I don't think the guests we had promoted or much less shilled for the vaccine. We have dutifully had our listeners, let our listeners voice their objections as often as they've come in. And it was, you know, we had the opportunity to read their email or hear their comments. I mean, we probably heard more anti-vaccine comments than, well, what would be the next one? Maybe
Bill Barr
or Terry Mattingly. So, you know, we actually, believe it or not, we actually prefer to, I prefer to air the critical comments that come in the email. We always start with the criticism because it's more interesting than people telling us that we're doing a great job. So let's see. I don't recall a listener, did a listener contact and say I wasn't going to get the vaccine? Then I did.
No, but a listener did call and say that we played a role in them deciding to do it, yes.
Okay. And just let me warn you, you mentioned the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That is a filterless complaint box. The health organization that runs it says this is unfiltered information. It's for our data gathering. And the public can look at it and see it, but you can report anything you want. You can lie. So it's not an accurate or representative source of information. Is it the source of nightmares and worries for many people? Yes, because they don't realize that they're not looking at vetted complaints. You can simply go on there and say, I could say, all my hair fell out after I took the vaccine. No one verifies that claim. So that's not an accurate source of information. I'd highly recommend you don't go there unless you just want to worry about the vaccine for the rest of your life. Again, I'm also kind of over COVID. And then as to the issue of the fifth commandment, that somehow by not having alternate voices on the vaccine, we're putting our listeners in bodily jeopardy. You could really only make that case if you assume that the vaccine does nothing whatsoever to mitigate the effects of COVID.
Other than hurt people.
And all it does is hurt people, and it does not do anything whatsoever to prevent COVID from becoming a serious health issue. That you can only assume that there's zero deaths on one side and all the deaths from the vaccine on the other. So people were dying of COVID before the vaccine came out. People are still in small numbers dying of COVID. I think we're getting a bigger picture about why people died of COVID, although there's still many mysteries left. And all the best information says that the vaccine, while we were overpromised like crazy, the president, Dr. Fauci, everyone overpromised this vaccine. You won't, if you get the vaccine, you won't get sick. Turned out to be false. If you get the vaccine, you can't transmit it, can't transmit the disease. Turned out to be false. If you get the vaccine, you won't ever have to wear a mask or worry about any kind of mitigating factors in your life. Didn't turn out to be true either. So was the vaccine a failure? Well, it depends on what measure you want to use. Did it save lives? I think there's good information that it probably did save lives. Did it slow down the pandemic? Not so much. But the version of the germ we have now is, well, I think they call it the stealth COVID because you don't actually, you get it, but you don't actually feel bad. So I'd like to have a cold where I get a cold and I don't have any symptoms. Maybe I've had one. I don't know. But you can only say that you're harming people by encouraging people or saying it's okay to get the vaccine if no one's dying of COVID and if the vaccine does nothing whatsoever to mitigate the effects of COVID.
But I think it's worth looking into, you know, the could there be adverse effects?
Absolutely.
Of any vaccine? And our, I remember Dr. Sanders said that, but at the same time, he's like, you got it. It's a risk reward. We know people are dying from COVID right now.
Right. And look, I'll be completely honest with you. I got two shots. No interest in getting any more because they proved to be fairly useless. I've stopped worrying about getting COVID. I actually saw someone with a mask yesterday. God bless him. And I thought, why are you still wearing a mask? And I haven't felt the same as a human being in general since I got the vaccine. I don't feel that much worse, but I have not felt the same. There have been some effects.
Let me just say you look the same. So
I look the same.
He's lost a little more hair, though, because wasn't that one of the things you filed a report on?
Yes, I repeatedly. Got to blame it on something. Can't be age. So I'm not a doctor and I don't know. And I'm not interested in going to the doctor and saying, is this because of the vaccine? And have him saying, I don't know. You tell me. Now, I do know people who suffered from COVID who are still experiencing, we can't call it long COVID anymore. We should just call it eternal COVID. I have a friend who has ongoing serious health issues at the age of 40 after having COVID. And they can't figure out what's wrong with them. So, and it's not the only one. So I'm glad that he had COVID, then he got vaccinated and hasn't had COVID since.
And on the other side of the ledger, we were quite upfront about embryonic stem cell research and COVID vaccines and adamantly opposed to vaccine mandates.
Yes. That we talked to a lot of people about those vaccine mandates.
All right.
What's next?
Bernie.
You think that'll be the last COVID email we ever take?
No, now that we've opened up this can of worms.
It's kind of sad, you know, the last of something.
Bernie, I've been a supporter both by sharing the podcast and financially of Issues, Etc. for the past 11 years or so. The most recent show, number 982, Disney versus Dollywood, Joy Pullman. I normally skip Joy Pullman episodes because her giggling every time she makes a serious point really bothers me. But since this one was only 18 minutes long, I thought I could endure. I made it through her usual speaking style, but her message was ridiculous. She said her family chose not to go to Disneyland because of their recent pro-LGBT statements, and they chose to go all-American wholesome Dollywood. Surely she isn't undereducated. How can anyone not realize that Dolly Parton is and has been a strong supporter of the LGBT community and is one of their champions? Go to any search engine and type Dolly Parton LGBT and see the results. I'm not defending Disney. I have opposed their various indoctrinations for years, but Dollywood, wholesome and clean, wonderful music, etc. If she took the time to listen to the music, lyrics, perhaps she wouldn't find the pure white goodness that she thinks she found ludicrous. I'll let you respond to that criticism first.
Well, first of all, I think she was comparing and contrasting the corporate position that Disney has taken versus I'm not aware of Dollywood promoting the LGBTQ agenda. She didn't see any of that there. She didn't choose to go. She was kind of roped into going. It wasn't like, do we go to Disney World or do we go to Dollywood? She wasn't going to go to Disney World anyway. She ended up going by kind of accident and circumstance, going to Dollywood. And she was just contrasting the difference of the atmosphere there, where you're not going to have the rainbow flag flown before your children in Dollywood. Now, maybe tomorrow, Dolly might make an executive decision and say, I want the rainbow flag in Dollywood. So there you go. But she was just contrasting the two experiences.
All right, Bernie's second criticism. The second was a while back, number 902, the patriarch Joseph of Dr. Walter E. Meyer III. He theorizes whether the dreams Joseph had about the seven cattle, the seven sheaves, and the stars, sun, and moon were from God, or were his own that God made come to pass. Dr. Meyer claims that we need to be flexible on their source. So our options are either we think that God provided the dreams in interpretation of Joseph, or that Joseph had these random dreams, and to fulfill these dreams, God changed the entire world for the dreams to come true. Why is it so difficult to think that God provided these dreams concerning Joseph's future? God is not mentioned on every event in the Bible. Joseph rejected the request of Potiphar's wife. Dr. Meyer says that's because of Jacob's godly training. Where is that mentioned? Maybe Joseph rejected her because he was more worried about his job. Was he in prison so he might be able to interpret dreams by random chance or God's will? I guess we'll never know because it isn't specifically stated. Just because God isn't specifically mentioned doesn't mean he isn't involved. The book of Esther is an example. I find that this type of teaching ineffective and pointless. Nothing is perfect, including issues, etc., but I appreciate your outreach and the work of everyone involved, especially Pastor Wilkin, Jeff, Craig, and Lynn, concludes Bernie.
That's our whole crew, by the way. There's nobody else here.
Julie Johnson,
well,
our
yes.
accountant.
For about an hour a week, yeah, very nicely. I think what Dr. Meyer was trying to say there was that without being told specifically that Joseph's dreams came from God, there are several options, there are logical conclusions one could draw. Either they did come from God and we're not told about it, or that Joseph simply had these dreams. Now, he did not say that he had these dreams and then God said, oh, I think I'm going to make that come true. But that he may have had these dreams out of nothing but ambition. Who knows? He may have had these dreams out of ambition. But nonetheless, what God was going to do is what he did with Joseph. So maybe the dreams were, I think he was saying, maybe the dreams were unrelated directly to the future. Not that God saw the dream and said, oh, okay, that's how I'm going to change the world to accommodate the dream. That's not what Dr. Meyer was saying. And you're right to say, if it doesn't say it explicitly in the text, we are free to, within certain bounds, weigh the options, but we cannot say, thus saith the Lord, one way or the other. And I think that's exactly what Dr. Meyer was trying to do. He was saying, look, here are your options. Some of them are better than others. But we cannot say, thus saith the Lord, on the origin of those dreams, since we're not told there or anyplace else in Scripture where those dreams came from. When we come back from the break, more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther along in Amos with capitulation, God's visitation, the lion's roar, judgment on Jacob, and calcification. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In John 5:39, Jesus states, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me." The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about The Messiah at issuesetc.org. The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
I was thinking that our listener email comment line segments will be cut in half, post-2022 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, after former Attorney General Bill Barr has spoken.
I think probably. That's true.
So let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Sue.
Do we have some more email about Bill Barr?
You're joking. Sue, I'm shocked and amazed that I just heard Todd insult his own listeners by suggesting that we are so superficial in our analysis of Bill Barr that he, Todd, believes we only have a problem with Bill Barr because Donald Trump doesn't play golf with him anymore. The listener's comment that was relayed is right on the mark. Bill Barr is part of the corrupt establishment that is destroying our republic. Donald Trump's opinion is irrelevant. Bill Barr may be a marvelous, impressive speaker, which I'm sure helped him attain his elevated position. But I learned long ago that it's not what people say that counts nearly as much as what people do. And when Bill Barr had the opportunity to address so much evil that was being documented and presented to him, he dropped the ball. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Notice another biblical reference there, like Judas.
Yeah.
From my perspective, Bill Barr is a master of deception, and I'm too concerned that he's been given a platform as a respected speaker at the Making the Case Conference and with the apparent endorsement of Todd. This comes from Scott. Okay, Bill Barr's title is Making the Case Against the Progressive Assault on Religious Liberty, but he stood by twiddling his thumbs while governments forced churches to close and arrested people for even practicing their faith outside. He was part of the assault! Exclamation point, concludes Scott. Jonathan, I was gravely disappointed to hear that Bill Barr was a speaker at the Making the Case Conference. Unlike several, my issue with William Barr is not anything to do with the election or indeed Donald Trump at all. It is due to his conduct in his first term as Attorney General of the United States, specifically due to his role in covering up and defending the killing of Vicki Weaver, shot in the head by FBI sniper Lou Harucci during the Ruby Ridge Massacre. Mrs. Weaver was completely innocent. No charges have been filed against her. In a 1995 Senate Judiciary Committee report stated that Barr, in doing so, quote, helped to weaken the bond of trust that must exist between ordinary Americans and our law enforcement agencies, end quote. I oppose the nomination and confirmation of Bill Barr on grounds that had nothing to do with his association with President Trump. Bill Barr demonstrates a callous disregard for human life and, to my knowledge, had never repented of his actions in defending Mrs. Weaver's murder. I was gravely disappointed to hear of his being invited to speak and, as such, cannot in good conscience attend the conference nor recommend anyone else do so. Please understand this has nothing to do with any other content or people on the show. My issue is solely with Bill Barr, but I am nonetheless disappointed. God's blessings, concludes Jonathan.
Well, I just want to say, Jonathan, okay, good. You have a reason, a good reason, that didn't change with Barr's relationship with Donald Trump. You've made a good case there for why you have a moral objection. I know nothing about Ruby Ridge, and I know nothing about Barr's involvement in any of the investigation, except that he was attorney general, and the attorney general is the boss over the FBI, so That's all I know. But you've actually made a good reasoned case there of why you would object to having Bill Barr there. So thank you.
How about we hear some positives about having Bill Barr speak at this year's conference?
Hi, Todd and Jeff. This is Tim calling from Missoula, Montana. I was surprised to hear that Bill Barr was invited to be a speaker at the Making the Case conference. I was more surprised, however, at the number of your listeners who objected based on Barr's supposed betrayal of Donald Trump. I treasure the Lutheran Church's position on freedom of conscience in the political arena. I'm not sure it's shared by many of your listeners.
All right. Thank you very much. Good to hear. Do you have other positive emails?
Yeah. Jason, Arizona. Hey, I heard you were going to have Bill Barr speak at some event or something. Thanks for that. I think he's a really good guy. Chris from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill Barr has some fans. Maybe we should have our conference in Arizona. Chris Phoenix, I always appreciate your pointing out our political idols and the responding listener email segments. Based on the comments received, it sounded like no one was going to the Making the Case conference because of Bill Barr's presence. Of course, we know that's not true. We just didn't hear many comments from people who were eager or at least willing to hear Barr speak. Thank you, Todd, for posing the questions we should ask ourselves about Barr and former President Trump. And thanks to both Todd and Jeff for discussing our time catechized by cable news versus our time catechized by the Word of God. I always need that reminder, and I hope the anti-Barr commenters get to hear it too. Thanks for all you do. One more. This comes from Will in Austin, Texas. Dear Eternal Boomers, Todd and Jeff. He does have a strike through on Eternal Boomers, Todd and Eternal Boomers, not Todd and Jeff. He didn't cancel us, just Eternal Boomers.
Okay.
This is not, I repeat, is not yet another gripe about Bill Barr. I'm actually looking forward to hearing from him this summer. I just want to drop a line and say thanks for the issues, etc. Find a church page. I was recently in Las Vegas. I need to find a church to attend that weekend. Your page helped me find Grace Lutheran in Henderson, a faithful congregation near Sin City. Thanks for all you do. I look forward to the conference and hearing from Mr. Barr. Keep up the good work behind the golden LPR microphone, concludes Will in Austin, Texas.
It's actually gray. The questions I have for the first two emailers. So the first one said that Bill Barr is a corrupt politician. I think that's what it said. And I just want to know, when did he become corrupt? Was he corrupt when he was appointed by the president, when he was hired by the president to be attorney general? Was he corrupt before that? When did he become corrupt? Ask yourself that question. And the other emailer said that Bill Barr was twiddling his thumbs while people were having the religious freedom impinged by local authorities. Remember, these were local authorities. Bill Barr did not send the FBI to stop people from going to church. That was usually from the governor of the state down or from local authorities, law enforcement. Let's just grant that maybe Bill Barr saw this happening and said, I don't care. Which it would be an irony because he did set up a commission in his department to investigate infringement upon religious liberty. But let's just say he did twiddle his thumbs. What did the president do? Donald Trump was president then when those things were happening. What did he do? He did promise that we remember it was kind of cute that he promised that the churches would be open by Easter and we'd all have full churches and a happy Easter. But what did he do to stop those local authorities who were, in some cases, and it was tragic, harassing pastors and congregations who were simply trying to, in some cases, just have an outdoor, in their car, worship service? What did he do? I mean, he might have tweeted about it, but what difference is there between tweeting and twiddling your thumbs? Not much.
He was in office for what? Pandemic was first ever in late February. Mm-hmm. So that's what, 10 months counting March to the end of the year. Let's just leave February out. Let's just say middle February to middle January, 11 months. Why no criticism from President Trump? What did he do to open our churches? And I'm not saying he could. I'm just saying if you're going to level the accusation at Bill Barr.
Should have done something.
Then President Trump should have done something, too.
All right. COVID, yeah. Bill Barr.
Well, let's see. We got to go to a break here.
You got any Terry Mattingly?
No, the trifecta. Charles says, hello, I'm trying to find the recording of Jesus Christ Has Risen Today that was played on What's Your Favorite Easter Hymn and Why? I can't remember the name of the choir, but it had Fox in the name.
I wasn't here for that.
You weren't here for that.
I was in Iowa.
And thanks to Dr. Ken Sherb for filling in.
Absolutely.
Did an admirable job. It's not really easy doing a live interactive program when the host is in Springfield. And
you're
we're
having
here
to,
in Collinsville, Illinois.
Right. You can't just walk into his studio and say something to him with the mic off.
London Fox Choir, Jesus Christ Has Risen Today.
All right. When we come back, a little more email from our listeners.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
In all things, across the nation, children are back in over 1,800 Lutheran schools. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring, Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Contact a school today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family. That's lcms.org/schools.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line for about another 5 minutes. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us of Law and Gospel to teach a Sunday school lesson on Paul, Barnabas, and the man born lame in Acts chapters 13 and 14. And Rebecca Curtis has reviewed the book Jesus and John Wayne, How White Evangelicals Corrupted a Faith and Fractured a Nation.
Two housekeeping items. Lord Feichner brought up a good point regarding Bernie's email, who thanked Todd, Craig, Lynn, and me.
We left out Pastor Whedon, who is also a full-time employee.
Host of the Word of the Lord Endures Forever, our daily 15-minute verse-by-verse daily Bible study. Pastor Whedon is currently going through the book of Amos. You can listen anytime, anywhere at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider. And secondly, if you're not fearful of hearing Bill Barr speak, or Albert Mohler, or Dr. Pavi Rossinen, or Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, and Pastor Whedon, and register for the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find a conference schedule. You can register at issuesetc.org or just give Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson a call here, 618-223-8385.
And we probably will be closing registration here very soon because we are at or near our limit of 500 people.
So I guess Bill Barr didn't keep us from having a sellout.
Not this time.
What, are we going to bring it back again?
I don't know. Have you seen this Notre Dame speech?
Yes.
That might be worth a repeat.
Quite compelling.
Yes.
You ought to watch YouTube his interview with Archbishop Timothy Dolan.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet, so I do
really
need to
good,
watch that.
Really good interview. Randy, Wisconsin. While on vacation, my wife and I attended a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Congregation church service in Eastern California. I spoke to the pastor before the service, and we planned to commune. We came to understand during the service that some members had picked up wine-filled communion cups and a wafer prepared prior to the service. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. After consecration of the elements on the altar, later in the service, individuals who selected the wine and wafer prior to the service consumed them in their seats. We know this is not a correct way to receive the elements. Our question is, were these elements simultaneously consecrated with those on the altar? Congregants were then offered communion at the altar rail. We were shocked when we noticed that a female was assisting the pastor in administering the wine to communicants there. We found ourselves torn between our desire to commune and our conscience that this was yet another improper administration of the sacrament. After the first group had communed, the woman exited the chancel. We then decided to receive communion from the pastor at the rail. After we received the host, the woman returned with more cups of wine, which the pastor... I shouldn't be laughing. This is not funny. After we received the host, the woman returned with more cups of wine, which the pastor transferred into the plate and then continued distribution without consecrating these elements. This is like strike three, right? Our question is, if one received a cup not on the altar at consecration, in other words, those from the sacristy for replenishment, did it deliver Christ's true blood? Excellent question. Thanks for sharing your sad story, Randy, in Wisconsin.
This sloppy, sloppy practice. Okay. Two questions are there. One is, you remember when we visited
Joel Osteen's
church? They had, I mean, it was stacks of communion plates that were 4 feet tall. They had big, strong men carrying these stacks of communion plates that were 4 feet tall because they had to commune 10,000 people on that Sunday morning. Jeff and I were there. We did not commune. But they kind of did the same thing. They just passed the plate down the row. How else are you going to commune 10,000 people, I suppose? And the communion cups were these kind of, it was a little individual cup with wine in it, and then it had a wafer on top that was kind of hermetically sealed in there somehow. And then you would like peel back the plastic. And then, of course, Joel's mom got up to pronounce the consecration, and she botched the words of institution, and she explicitly said after she botched the words of institution that this is just a symbol. And the kid that was sitting next to me, I didn't know who he was. The little kid was sitting next to me holding the little communion wafer. And he said, what is this? And I said, it's just bread. Because it wasn't the Lord's Supper they were eating. They were eating something else. And now the experience you had there at that church was not as bad as that. But it was in the same realm of sloppiness. In answer to your question, were the individual cups and wafers brought and kept in the pews by those who apparently did not want to join everyone else at the rail for whatever reason? Now, sometimes people can't do that because infirmity, who knows? We often bring the body and blood out to people who are older, who can't climb the steps to the altar. That's fine. Were those consecrated? I would say yes. Is that the way you want to practice the Lord's Supper? No, but it does not invalidate the fact that that bread was consecrated and the wine was consecrated. The wine that was brought in from the sacristy that was not there for the consecration should have been consecrated by the pastor. It takes 25 seconds. It removes all doubt from anyone's mind. And that's the real problem here, is that you were put in a situation as a Christian where... And you were right to be hesitant, but also right not to be so hesitant that you said, we still do need to commune here. You're right to be hesitant because all sorts of things were happening there that were introducing doubt into Christ's institution. And anything that introduces doubt in Christ's institution needs to be purged out of that situation. Whether it is refilling cups and bringing them in from the sacristy without having them consecrated, or having all people handling the elements kind of all in their own fashion. This is why we closely guard both the teaching and the practice of the Lord's Supper and hold the Christ institution as closely as possible so that no doubt may be introduced by how we administer that sacrament. I hope that answers that question. Don't go back there. Don't go back there, no matter what you do. When we come back, it's time to talk with Pastor Tom Baker, teach a Sunday school lesson on Paul, Barnabas, and a man born lame in chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Acts.
I ain't got time to take no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a
When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.